But it was what was interesting really about this sub, but the outreach is that, you know, as we go out and share, I'm still always learning as I'm doing this. Now, what I notice a lot with people sharing with is just telling people how much God loves them. You know, do we want to see people get saved? Absolutely. We want to see the Lord touch Jewish people and bring them into the kingdom? Absolutely. But what it's the love of God that we're ministering to people. And that's why I wanted to touch on today. Next slide. You know, it makes me, when I sometimes, like in the morning, say I could maybe, I get a little worked up with my kids. I'm like, get your clothes on, eat your food, brush your teeth, hurry up. Like, Dad, calm down. I was like, no, we got to get out of the house. And they kind of leave, and I'm getting upset. Like, oh, I got to calm down. And the kids get out. But then you know what's amazing? Is that when you see them next, it's like the first time you saw them. Like, oh, Dad's back. Like, what, you forgot about everything that just happened earlier? And they did. They loved me that much, and I love them that much. Like, oh, thank God. They have this amazing ability to either forget or just to let it go of what happened earlier. This came about because there was this guy I was talking to. We had a really interesting array of people we spoke with. And one of them was this guy named David. I said, hey, that's my son's name. He goes, oh, that's nice. So I said, you know, we had Bibles. And I said, have you ever read the Bible? He said, yeah, I have a Bible. And I said, I grew up in church. I said, so what happened? He goes, I just became a teenager and it wasn't really that important. And got into college. I said, okay, yeah. And he's telling me what he's studying. I said, so we asked people, the theme was, what are your goals for this year, your resolutions? I said, well, I want to do well in school and then get a good job. I said, well, do you have any spiritual goals? And he says, I don't know. I said, like I said, I used to go to church. I said, well, do you think you could come up with one? Is that important? He goes, I guess. I said, I was just thinking, probably when I'm older, I'll start thinking about these things. And I said, you know what? Let me tell you something. I said, do you have any kids? And he said, no. I said, well, I have three. And I love my kids. And I would do anything for them. And nothing could stop them from making me love them and to pursue them and wanting to be with them. And when I mess up and I see and I it's like, oh man, I want to do better because I love them. And I said, God is no different. God loves you, David, and he wants to be with you. Does that sound that bad? He says, no, that sounds good. So that's what this is all about. God loves you. Doesn't sound like love over there. like Stephen King. But he looked at me, and I could tell he was softened. He may have even been teary-eyed, but I couldn't tell. The lighting was low. But the thought is telling this guy, like, oh, you should read your Bible. You should go to church. You need to recommit your life to the Lord. I mean, those things may all be true. But that all stems from receiving the love of God. And so I thought, wow, this is so powerful. This is what we need, and this is what the message that we need to bring out to people. So this is what I wanted to share with today. Next slide. There's some really powerful passages. The father can't wait to be with his children. This is from Luke 15. We all know it's the prodigal son, but I want to draw out a couple things. Luke 15, starting in verse 11. Then Yeshua said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to the father, Father, give me the share of the property that comes to me. So he divided his wealth between them. Now many days later, the younger son gathered everything and traveled to a far country, and there he squandered his inheritance on wild living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine came against that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to fill up on the carob pods the pigs were eating, but no one was giving him any. But when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired workers have food overflowing? But here I am, dying of hunger. I'll get up and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your presence, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired workers. Or in some translations, it says slaves. And he got up and went to his own father, but while he was still far away, his father saw him and felt compassion. He ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your presence. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's celebrate with a feast, for the son of mine was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and is found. Then they began to celebrate. Now his older son was out in the field, and as he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called out to one of the servants and began to ask what these things could be. The servant said to him, your brother has come and your father has killed the fattened calf because he got him back safe and sound. But the older son was angry and didn't want to go in. So his father came outside and pleaded with him. But he answered and said to his father, look, so many years I've slaved away for you. Not once did I ignore your order, yet you've never given me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, the one who has squandered your wealth with prostitutes, for him you killed the fattened calf. And the father said to him, son, you are always with me, and everything that is mine is yours. But it was right to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead, but has come back to life. He was lost, but is found. What's important to notice the context of this, that what precedes this whole conversation, is that Yeshua is eating with sinners, tax collectors, and the Pharisees see it, and they say, who are you to eat with these unclean, rebellious people? That's the context of this. So he tells them exactly about the love the Father has for them. He loves the righteous too, those who keep all, you know, like, I've done everything, I've never disobeyed you. But even those who have squandered and gone directly in a rebellion against God, he loves them and celebrates when they come back. Next slide. So how great is his love? Let's take a look at a couple key things. Verse 20 says, the father is looking for a son. How do we know this? Because when he says that he saw him from far off and not close, far, that means the father, who's obviously a wealthy man, is sitting looking for his son. He didn't hire a servant. Maybe he did, the servant told him. We don't know. But all we do know is that the minute that the father knew that the son was out there, he got up. And he wasn't angry. He didn't start to huff like, oh, here he comes. Wait for you to grovel. He ran after him with compassion. This is a wealthy, established man with servants. And he pursued to his son. And it says he hugged him and kissed him. Oh, okay, big deal, right? A father hugs and kisses his son. But let's think about this, though. This son was working with pigs. And back then, they didn't get showers. And he was starving. So his physical appearance was, I'm sure, quite emaciated and gaunt. He doesn't acknowledge that whatsoever. And he embraces him and kisses him and puts on the best clothes and ring to adorn this filthy, starving kid. And then the son pleads to him and says, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I can't even be called your son. Just put me as one of your workers. And the father doesn't even acknowledge him. He ignores him. He just says, let's go celebrate, you're back. It doesn't matter what you did. I forgive you. He doesn't even have to say, I forgive you. He just brings him home. And then what's also fascinating, I think it's something we often don't point out, is that the father even goes out to plead with the older son. Personally. I did all the right things. He said, yeah, I know. Come in. Come celebrate with me. Your son, your brother's home. And in a way, he's saying, look, I forgave my son. You forgive your brother. You see the context of it. He's telling the Pharisees, these are your brothers, your sisters. They're coming into the kingdom of God. Come inside the kingdom and forgive them just like I have. The love of God is so great. Not only does he just wash away the filth of the prodigal one, but he even pleads with the so-called righteous one who does all the right things. Come in, celebrate. I want all my children to be in here. That's how great his love is. Next slide. His love is abundant. This is important for us to know. This is from Titus 3. You know, maybe some of us may have done really bad things in our past. Some of us may not have done such great, terrible things. But still, in the eyes of God, this is applicable to us. Titus 3, reading in verse 3. For we also once were foolish, disobedient, deluded, enslaved to various desires and pleasures, spending our lives in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But, it's a key word, but, when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, not by deeds of righteousness, which we had done ourselves, but because of his mercy, he saved us through the mikveh of rebirth and renewing of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, whom he abundantly poured out on us through Messiah Yeshua, our Savior, so that being set right by his grace, we might become heirs with the confident hope of eternal life. You know, often at the outreach, we'd say, people, do you have a spiritual resolution? Well, to be a good person, that's spiritual. Well, that's good. You should be good. I mean, no one ever said, I want to be evil. But it's still this notion of confident hope. People kind of just go around like, well, we'll see. But to be able to stand there in confidence that I know God, I know that he loves me, and I have confidence in this world and in the next, that only comes because of the abundant love of God. Next slide. Notice, too, that his love is brought out in the prodigal parable. But in here, it says God cleanses us. Think of it like a do-over. It says he washed us, the mikveh of rebirth. You ever played with kids? It's like, okay, these are the rules. This is how you play. Okay, I got it. All right, let me try. Okay, you understand the rules? I got it. So you give them, say, a ball. All right. That's like my daughter. This is how you dribble the ball. She goes, okay, I got it. Let me try it. I said, okay, you sure? You got it? Okay, I got it. Drip starts dribbling. Then she stops. The ball falls down. She goes, wait. Do-over. Hold on. She tries again. Wait. I messed up. Hold on. I got it this time. All right, look at that. I got two this time. Oh, stop. No, I'm going to do it again. Just watch. Hold on. That's what it's like. She doesn't think anything of it. And I wouldn't bash her for it either. It's the same thing with God. Washing us. You want to, you know, you can have a do-over. It's as if the mess up that you just had, it didn't exist. But it's even a much graver situation because this son was a son. Then he behaved as if he weren't. He became unworthy of being a son, but the father restored him to sonship. He was reborn, if you will, as a son. In many respects, the father had every right to say, fine, you want to be my slave? You can be my slave. But he was born again into the rightful place that he had once had. Because of God's great love, he washes us, cleanses us, and gives us a second chance. Next slide. So why did Yeshua come? It's the very beginning of this, we all have a very well-known verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. That's the essence of all this. God's love for humanity. That he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God did not send the son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. That one who believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in him has been condemned already, because he has not put his trust in the name of the one and only Ben Elohim, the Son of God. Right? We're already condemned. That's it. And the only way out of it is to trust the one who can actually give us rebirth, to bring us back into sonship or daughtership. But this is all predicated upon God's love for us. Next slide. So what is our message? When we go out, whether it be informally, at the grocery store, at work, the gas station, at an amusement park, or when we're doing formal outreaches, is that first and foremost, God loves you. That's the basis of all of it. And you're, and as I said to this guy, David, you're, whatever you've done, it can't stop him from loving you. Your past can't stop him. Yeshua died so that you can be forgiven and be restored. Now, whatever you did in your past, whatever you're even doing right now, and whatever you're thinking about doing, that through Yeshua you can be cleansed and brought back into fellowship with God, because all he wants is to be close to you. Even think about the beginning. Adam and Eve sin. They realize they're ashamed of themselves. God starts walking. God knew already what they did. He could have said, oh, I can't believe you did this. Literally, there's a million trees around here. You got to eat that one tree. But he walked physically close to them, and he approached them. It's the same with us. He comes close and says, will you receive my forgiveness? I love you. And it prompted me to watch a video that I had started, but I wanted to watch it in its entirety, of Todd White. Many of you may know who Todd White is. He works often with, Dawkins, Robbie Dawkins, who spoke at Tikkun last year. Todd White goes up and he went to Brazil. He travels all over. If you ever heard his story, it's quite remarkable. A lot of YouTube videos. So he goes down to Brazil at a Satanist parade. People dressed in black, blood on their faces, white, upside down crosses, tattoos, pentagrams, I mean, you name it. Men, women, I mean, not just young guys, too. Like, I saw people look like fathers. It was scary. So he's just walking in the midst of them. He's got these blonde dreads on. He's kind of a funny-looking guy. You know, there's this guy. And he just walks up to this dude who's all in black with horns, an upside-down cross, tattoos all over himself, piercings. And he starts to, he gives him a word of knowledge about, he says, are you an artist? He says, yeah, I like art. He says, I believe God is going to use you someday in animation. He says, okay. And then he told him his story about how God saved him. And the guy was heavy into drugs since the age of 11. And eventually he wanted to rip off a drug dealer, so he pretended to be a cop. And he told the guy, get out of the car, you're arrested. So the guy took out his gun and shot him at just 9 feet away. And he didn't die. He unloaded a whole clip on him. And he heard a voice, and he said, I stopped those bullets for you. And eventually he got himself into rehab. While he was in rehab, the voice came back and says, that voice you heard, that's me. I'm Jesus. He says, follow me. He said, and then while he was there, his girlfriend at the time, also Yeshua, appeared to her, said, follow me. And he got out of rehab, they got married, and he said to this guy, if you look at this guy, most of us, I would imagine, would probably walk the other way. And he said, God loves you. He loves you. And you're his son, and he wants to be with you. The guy was listening to him. And he said the word, the name Jesus, and the guy kind of squirmed. But he listened. He said, can I pray for you? And he said, okay. And he grabbed a hold of his head, and he put it to his face, to his face, and he started to pray. And I think that guy even got teary-eyed, if I remember correctly. And he said, okay, God bless you, and he walked away. And he said, if I don't see people come to Jesus at that moment, I pray that the Lord, the Holy Spirit keeps him up all night, speaking to him, talking to him. The Lord would send other believers to minister to him. But ultimately, all I'm saying is for all this is that tell people that God loves them. Because, I say, oh, well, Jesus is good for you. And we had one guy say, I'm a Buddhist. Whatever makes you happy is good for me. People can get into arguments all about these things. You know, sometimes even some places can, some religions or things can do little miracles. Pharaoh's magicians created snakes too. And then sometimes people can even find purpose in other philosophies or religions, gives them some sort of focus in life, and that can be good. But no one can argue with the love of God and Yeshua, because it doesn't exist anywhere else. When someone is truly taken by the love of God in Yeshua, you're overcome and you're forgiven. And as Todd White said to the Satanist, he said, I had peace finally in my life after having been really essentially abandoned by his own parents at a young age. I had peace. We go out and share the love of God and just tell people that God loves you. We'll see people crumble under the weight of his goodness. And that's what people want to hear and they need to hear. And then everything else will follow. Right? As we read every day, love God with everything and love our neighbor as yourself. Everything hangs upon those two things. So as we leave here today, let us first and foremost, of course, love each other here, all the more so. But as we go out, tell people that God loves you. Who's going to say, no, I don't want to hear it? No, God's love's good for you. It's not for me. No one says that. But it blesses people. Let's pray. Father, increase your love within us. And I pray you would embolden us to share with people how much you love them. And I pray we too would know how much you love us. Because our love for you is not doesn't originate with us, but originates from you. I thank you, God, that you love us. And you continue to love us, even when we continually mess up. We thank you, Lord, your love is great. That it endures all, it believes all, it hopes all, and it never fails. Embolden our mouths and our hearts and our hands and our feet and our eyes to love your children, our brothers and sisters, whether they be Jew or non-Jew, to love them with your love found only in Messiah Yeshua, to set us right and to give us confident hope of eternal life. In Yeshua's name, amen.